as the Mar Makamos make clear, Tipas Chalav is certainly among the deep waters of Basar B'Chalav, among the deep waters of Maseches Chulin in general, in terms of the length of the sugya, in terms of the depth of the ideas, and a lot of interconnection of ideas. And as you see, it's really this blot and a half, from the top of Kufches Amud Aleph to the bottom of Kufches Amud Aleph, that drive, at the very least, the first four se'ifim of Siman Sadi Beis. The Chalal drive a lot of Bas B'Chalav and a lot of Yisra Hetzer more broadly. So, rather than saying that tonight we're going to learn Sif Aleph and next week we'll work on Sif Beis, it may make sense, and in terms of our own limud also, the Mar Makom is meant for several weeks, so this is a Baruch Hashem, a big and beautiful and holy project. So maybe I thought it would be the most productive or spend tonight's chabura limning the sugya, sort of like overviewing the shock of Ataria and highlight a number of the important points and sort of laying the groundwork thereby for the limud b'chavrusa going forward and for chaburas going forward for the next couple of weeks. Yitz Hashem. So the sugya is built around the Mishnah Kufches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah of Tipas Chalav, two versions of the same case of milk falling onto meat. Just in the broadest of terms, without digging into Shulchan Aruch at all, you just notice when you peek at the Shulchan Aruch that Sif Aleph and Sif Beis look like two cases that are reflections of one another. A Sif Aleph is a piece of meat falling into a pot of milk, hot milk. Again, we're done with cold. That was so last Siman. Siman Tzadi Aleph was believed. But so anyway, we're all in. No pun intended. We're all in terms of, we're talking about all chamimus. Remember we got started about the pyramid, like working our way up, and then we're working our way down. We're at the peak of the pyramid right now. We worked our way up from B'liya B'tzonin to some heat to Klei Klipa. This is full heat. Everything is hot. B'liya B'kulo. We're at the peak. We're at the peak in the sense of full heat, and we're still dealing with the Basar and Chalav directly interacting. As we move further down the far end of the pyramid, to Tzadi Gimel and Tzadi Dal, we'll have a situation that Basar and Chalav are a step or two removed. So in Tzadi Beis, it's all hot, and the Basar and Chalav are directly in contact with one another. And the first two Se'ifim lay out, so the two basic variations of that, Sif Aleph is a piece of Basar falling into a steaming hot pot of Chalav, and Sif Beis is a Chalav falling onto a steaming hot pot of Basar. And they're sound sort of parallel. Obviously, the dynamics are going to be somewhat different in terms of thinking about the mechanics of how the flavor is going to spread. A pot of milk versus a pot of pieces of meat, and we're going to see, are different. And ironically, Se'if Beis is the case in the Mishnah, Se'if Aleph is the case that comes up with the course of the Gemara. So the Mishnah is that second case of the Chalav falling into Basar. Tipas Chalav, the drop of milk, this is the name of the sugya, the drop of milk, the Tipas Chalav that falls into Basar, and the Gemara, the Mishnah has two cases, it should be noted, both of them are Chalav into Basar, but two different cases of Chalav into Basar that impact how far is that Chalav spreading. And the Mishnah has once the scenario one where the milk is just spreading throughout the one piece of meat that it falls on, and scenario two where the Chalav falls and spreads not just through that one piece of meat, but through all of the meat in the pan. And the Gemara, so the Gemara, in broadest strokes, there are two pieces to the Gemara. Maybe there's more than two pieces. But in broadest strokes, there are two pieces of the Gemara. There's the small first chunk of Abai V'Rava at the beginning of Kufches Siman Aleph, the first 10, 15 lines or so. Not even. the first five lines. We'll spend some time building out of that tonight. Abai and Rava, the opening. And then you have the next, starting with the memory of Rav, but Chaticha Nasas Nevela, and that really takes you through the rest of the Gemara. The Gemara raises, sort of branches out, because the Gemara raises different memories, and you have a goof on this, a goof on that. But in the broader strokes, there are two pieces of the sugya. There's the bulk of it, which is about Chaticha Nasas Nevela. We'll get to that, but that's segment two. That's the last 90%. And the first 10%, which appear to be pretty much independent, is Abai v'Rav about Tamo v'lo Mamasho. So let's take a look at that first, and let's pick apart some of what's going on in those opening lines of the Gemara, and then we'll begin to scope out and survey the territory, the terrain, of the last 90%. So this first segment, the first sugya, so to speak, so Abai raises an issue about Tamo v'lo Mamasho. Tamo v'lo Mamasho. The flavor but not the mamash. The flavor but not the substance. That's what we usually refer to, again, at least in broad strokes, as Tom Keker, taking us back to where we began to look at in the middle of a Simon Sadi Aleph. So this is a sugi of Tom Keker. Is Tom Keker Darais or not? Is Tom Keker Darais or not? And again, in other words, Tom Elam Amash, as Rashi points out, means not that I have a pot with not to have a pan with five slices of meat and one of them is treif and four of them are kasher, where there's a real, there's a piece that's actually treif. No, there's no piece left. I threw in some bacon to the chalent, I let it sit there for an hour, and then I scoop out the bacon. Or, I didn't scoop out the bacon, but now I just have a potato. The potato is not bacon, that's clear. I'm not eating a piece of bacon, I'm eating potato, but the potato was boleya flavor from the bacon. So that's Tom of Olam HaMashah. Tom ke Iker. The fact that Tom is like Iker, that Tom has the same status as Mamash. So Abaye says, it's Daraisa. How do we know Tom ke Iker is Daraisa? He says, it has to be Daraisa, because if it was Drabanan, we should have learned it from Bas B'chol. In other words, the Makar, it seems like a circuitous way of saying, that Tom ke Iker is Daraisa based on Bas B'chol. Or maybe there could be other sources also, but at the very least, I can learn it from Basa B'chalf. The Sakadayach of Drabanan, if you're going to say Tom Kikr is not Daraisa, Tom of Lamasho is not Daraisa, so me Basa B'chalf my time alo gamrinan, well then why wouldn't we say it's Daraisa based on Basa B'chalf? In other words, how does Basa B'chalf work? How does Basa B'chalf work? So that's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, and specifically what this first piece, these first five, six lines are drawing from in our Mishnah, is the fact that the Mishnah says Beno Sein Tam. The Tipas Chala falls in the Chaticha. If it just knows Tam the Chaticha, is there enough milk to give flavor into the meat? Or case number two, where the dynamics are such that the milk is spreading evenly throughout the whole pan, so is there enough milk to give flavor to the whole pan? So the fact that it's Beno Sein Tam, that point, without getting too granular in the Mishnah, first chunk of the Gemara is the fact that it's Beno Sein Tam, Abai says, this is a Makar for Tom Kicker, in general, B'chol Torah Kula. Because otherwise, Zakadat Rabban, why not learn from Bas B'chol? So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. You're going to say, D'chidushu. Maybe you'll say, no, we cannot derive Tom Kicker from Bas B'chol to call it Torah Kula, because Bas B'chol is a Chidush. Bas B'chol is a Chidush. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean a chiddush? If it's a chiddush, so if you cannot derive bas b'chalav from anything else, if bas b'chalav is unique, so then you would have said you don't even need no Sein Tam. You need no Sein Tam. The Mishnah didn't say cook bas b'chalav together automatically, right? The Mishnah said cook bas b'chalav together. It's only if it's been no Sein Tam. One drop of milk falls in a big pot of cholent, the whole thing is mutter." Batal b'shishim, or we spoke about kefela, there's no flavor, it's taka mutter. And Rebbe says, no derech bishal asra Torah. So what does the Gemara mean? I understand this. So again, in the broadest of terms, Abaye is saying that we can learn Tam Kikah Daraisa from Bas B'chalav, and Rebbe says, no, you cannot. So a couple of points from working from the outside in. in terms of maskanos, so two sort of external points. Number one, Tosu Zimaschal Omar makes the point that although Rava pushes back against Abaye, it doesn't mean that Rava thinks that Tam Kikah is Rabbanan. That's what Tosas makes the point in Amar Rav. Dichuya bi alma mehacha lekalamelov. But Tom Kicker is daraisa. He says they're just disputing is Buster Bechalov a valid source for Tom Kicker or not. So Rava said you cannot learn, but Buster Bechalov is not going to be a source for Tom Kicker Bechal Tarkula. But where Rava agrees, he says look in the sug in the previous parak in parak Gidan Ashen. Sure, Rava agrees Tom Kicker is daraisa based on other sources in Chumash. Now you see, by the way, that he says they send you in the parentheses to look at not only Tzadi Chesam Ebeis but a Tosus. It's a long, long, rich Tosus. You take a peek, you see it's a very long Tosus. It's the bottom of Tzadi Chesam Ebeis all the way to much of Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph. That is the Tosus. We had references a few weeks ago where Tosus discusses what is the status of Tom Kicker. Is it Daraisa? Is it not Daraisa? And if it's Daraisa, how Daraisa? What do you know? How Daraisa? That's what Tosas has on Tzadi Testament Aleph. A machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam, a very famous Balatosis, and a somewhat lesser known Balatosis, the Re of Orleans. Not New Orleans, but Old Orleans. He was from France. The Re of Orleans, or I guess if you want to be corrected, be Orleans. But whatever it is, so they have a machlokas. How Daraisa is it? Avad is Daraisa. But so let's say I eat a chunk of potato that has a flavor of bacon. So did I get malchus? Tom Kicker. You ate bacon. Mamish? Or no? That's an interesting machlokas. And Rabbeinu Tam quite explicitly relates it to a larger lumdusha chakira, which is ahadrinu. The rear of Orleans says, I have some pasuk or another, maybe from the fact that the Torah says in Parashas Matos, you have to kasher the non-Jewish kalim. So what do you have to kasher the kalim for? Obviously, because we're worried about the flavor. So you see, the flavor matters. So the rear of Orleans says, yeah, I mean, there's a new parsha in the Torah that says Tam Ke'ikr. It's not them violating bacon. If I eat a piece of bacon, I violate the Isser of bacon, the Isser of behemoth tamayim. The rear of Orleans says, but if you eat potato with a flavor of bacon, I didn't violate behemoth tamea. I violated a new din of Tom Kicker. I violated the din of Kasher and Kalim. I'm being mevatzel Hagalas Kalim. But it's like a violating a new mitzvah saseh. It's not a lav. You only get malchus if you violate a lav, a low saseh. That's what Rabbi Orlin says. And Rabbi Tom says, no, it's not like a new mitzvah number 614, a new isser number 366. Not to eat something with a treif of flavor. No! Rabbeinu Tam says, the Torah isn't creating a new Isser called Tam Kicker. Rabbeinu Tam says, the Torah is just being megala how to define Isuri HaTorah. I would have thought that eating bacon just means a piece of bacon. I would have thought that eating Arla means a piece of Arla. Kamarshua, no! When the Torah said, don't eat bacon, means don't eat a piece of bacon or something with the flavor of bacon. That's Rabbeinu Tam says, Ahadrinu. The Torah is taking this and tossing it back into the original Isser. In other words, it's what the Achronim sometimes refer to as a wondering whether this is this expansionary idea, is it klali or prati? Is it generic or is it specific? The Re Orleans appears to say that Tam Kicker is a new Isser. It's an Isser klali. Doesn't matter whether you're eating, something with a tam of bacon, or something with a tam of arla, something with a tam of tevel. There's an isser, a new isser called eating something with a tam of. And that's the Re Orleans. And that's what he says, it's not malchus. You're not violating behemoth tamei, you're not violating arla, you're violating the new thing called tam kicker. And the tam says, no, it's a din prati. It's the Torah isn't creating a new isser called tam kicker, it's just a redefinition of how halachas of kashrus work. So now I know that when the Torah said don't eat treif, this don't eat bacon, this is included. So there would be, again, there's more nuance if we were learning Taruvas. That's really where most of this is. The Tosafot starts getting involved in, well, maybe we should differentiate between how much there is it kedayas b'chayil chilz pras or not. There's more, but the two major shitos within Tam Kikar Daraisa. There are Rishon who think Tam Kikar is not Daraisa. Okay? Rav Tosis here already. Of Kufches is saying, don't think Rava said Tam Kikar is Rabbana. No, no, no. Of course it's Daraisa. He was just saying Bas B'chav is not the Makar. Okay. And again, within the approach of Tam Kikar Daraisa, so the two major subversions are the Rear Leans and Rebbeinu Tam. Is it a new Isser, the Rear Leans, or is it just a redefinition and of Isuri HaTorah, and it becomes part and parcel of the law, and again with details, what dilution do you need? What concentration rather do you need? Maybe excise b'chayach yos pras. At least fundamentally, Rebbeinu Tam thinks you could get malchus for eating the soup that has some. That has the flavor of the bacon. So that, again, coming back, so that's the first point in this first sugya, is the first point is Dimas Amar Rava, that Rava is not rejecting the din of Tam Kikar Daraisa. He's just explaining, we haven't yet gotten to figure out what exactly he's saying, but just in terms of the structure here, Rava just saying, Bas B'chav, Abaye, don't get so excited, Bas B'chav is a makar, Bas B'chav is not a makar for Tam Kikar. There may be other makaros, Gule, Kasher and Kalem, and so forth, but this is not the makar. Yeah, question. Yeah.
According to the Ring of Orleans, you still need, there's something that from the freight item, or the Bas B'chav, that absorbed into the what we would originally think was the mutter item, and then it's just a question of what's the shear that says it's usher, and that's the tam ke'ikr. It's not like if I was able to develop a sauce that tasted just like someone, a guy said this tastes just like bacon, but it never had bacon in it, and someone had a potato and said this tastes just like bacon taste. That potato is then usher. If there was never an isser part, so it has to have something that absorbed from the. Right, isn't that the whole thing we talked about last 2 weeks? That there was some. The question is, what's the shear? So the shear is tom. Is if it's tom, then that may be usher. But it's not like it's just because it just somehow miraculously tastes that way.
Yeah. So we're getting into deep waters, Baruch Hashem. So Eric, again, so you're asking, how could I say that you don't get malchus for Tam Kikar?
I understand the brain of Tom because. He's saying it's based on the same Isser how's it a whole new Isser? It goes back to the original Isser.
Right. So again, so you're saying Tom Kikar is really saying we're setting the threshold for when does halacha recognize dilution. So if it's so diluted that you haven't taste the miut, so then it's batel. But if it's not so diluted, if it's still sensible, I don't mean reasonable, I mean something that could be sensed, murgash, so then it's not batel. So, right, so you're right. I think you're right. And maybe we'll explore this more going forward. According to Anatam, right, it sounds like according to Anatam, Ta'am Ke'iker is really exactly that, a statement of when is there bittel and when is there not bittel. And so it's basic, it's not batel. And let's put this into more context. Oftentimes, the starting point is that there's a din of bittel berov. So let's say in a case where the items are not interacting, where they're not blending. Let's say I have bottles of soda, or I have packages of deli. Right? A lot of shalchmanos comes into the kitchen. Everything is flying, and there are like five packages of deli, and the kids start pulling out the labels. And my name. Kids start getting the Sharpies, calling us, I shot this, I shot that. The labels disappear. And then we find out, the five packages of deli, one of them was boar's head. Beef, but nevela. Right? Four of them are kosher salami, and one is treif. But the labels all got pulled off, and we can't tell. We don't have the forensic chemical testing to be able to identify it. And if you could check sodium levels, you probably could figure out which is kosher, which is treif. Oh, no. Five packages. They all look identical. The labels are off. I know that one of them was treif. I have no idea which is which. Right, so that's a taruvas. That sort of thing is not discussed in Basi B'chalam. That is very much discussed in Hilchas Taruvas, starting from Simin Sariches. That's what we call important terminology. That's what we call yavesh b'yavesh, dry with dry, as opposed to the meat falling into milk, the milk falling into meat, here in Siman Sadi Beis, that's what we call lach balach, wet with wet. Now, it's important to note that the distinction doesn't really have to do with dry versus wet. If you have bottles of wine or bottles of soda, that, again, the labels come off, the bottle's still sealed, but the labels are off, they're all liquid, but that's called yavesh b'yavesh, because the items remain discrete. There's no blending. And Reshech likes to point out that the post can say that if you have, let's say, different powders, let's say different flours, O-U, flours, not O-W-E, different types of kemach get mixed together, or different other powders, they get blended together. They're dry, but that is lach balach, because there was an intermingling of the items. So when you have yavesh b'yavesh, at least min ha-Torah, and sometimes even midrabanan, it suffices to have bittul berov. So I have four kosher salamis and one treif. So in that case, I can say it's not bittul b'shishim. 20% of it is treif. But I say, sure. I say, you can take a package and eat it. Why? Because it's yavish b'yavish, and they all, so min ha-Torah, in that case, even midrabanan, I say, chad b'trei bittul. It's bittul berov. I can't eat all the packages, and how many I can eat is a good question. That's the Hilchos Taruvos question. But let's keep things simple. I have, two packages of kosher, one is treif, or four packages of kosher, one is treif. I can definitely take one package and eat it. Even if it's not bittul b'shishim, doesn't matter. Bittul berov. Fundamentally, bittul berov. So here's the question. By lach balach, where things are intermingling, and particularly if things have different flavors, like meat and milk, or bacon and potatoes, so then we say, no, that doesn't help to have bittul berov. You got to have bittul b'shishim, or whatever kefela, whatever the dilution that you need up to 1 in 60 in order that it no longer gives flavor. So I think you're right, and this is something I think Achronim and anything Rishonim sort of lay out. Rabbeinu Tam appears to be saying that when there's lach balach, and specifically when there are different flavors, midrabanan you need shishim even when they have the same flavor. But min ha-Torah only need shishim when it's two different. If they're all the same meat, it happens to be one's kosher, one's treif, or a treif apple, a kosher apple, then you only need shishim midrabanan. But in a classic sort of case, min b'she'en omino, where things have different flavors like meat and milk, and then you need shishim. If you hold tabkeker as daraisa, you need shishim min ha-Torah. So Rabbeinu Tam would say, I think you're saying, Tam would say, yeah, that means Tam ke'ikr is the Torah is being megala to us that the standard for bittul is no longer 51%, it's now 99% or so, 98.5. And why? So the simplest svara may not be the only one, the simplest svara is bittul is because there's a loss of identity. So yeah, if you have five packages of deli and all the labels get ripped off, so I can't identify which is which. So it's batel berov. The Rambam has language. It's nevad ba'otzim mi'uto. It's lost. Its identity is lost in the overwhelming power of the rov. Yeah, so it loses its identity. That's why even by yavish as a sidebar, there are cases where min ha-Torah midrabanan certain things don't become batel berov, because they have a very strong individual identity. In a couple of cases, you have a very significant piece of meat, or things are sold by unit, and there are cases where something has so much internal importance as a unit that it doesn't become batel berov even by yavish b'yavish. Because again, the idea of batel berov is that the meat loses its identity in the mass of the rov. And so you could say, it's very nice if they're separate packages, and they're not interacting, so then batel berov. But if they are blending, so the simplest svara is, well, what do you mean batel? I could taste it. I can't pick it out. But if there's enough bacon that the whole chalon tastes bacony, so how could you say it's batel? I taste it. I don't see it, but I taste it. That's a very natural. Let's deconstruct that a little bit. What that means is that there really isn't bittul. Because it's tasteable, it isn't bittel. We may come across later, posts can raise the question, how about there's some other sense? You can't taste it, but you can see it. Let's say it's a coloring agent. So it doesn't give flavor, it's bittel, but it's a whitener. Or it's red, or it's blue. So maybe it's similar. Look, how can you say it's bittel? I see it. That type of svar. You're right. I think Rabbi Tam is saying the Torah was megala this svar, that we accept this svar. That if it's tasteable, it's not bittel. Even though it should be bittel, but it's not bittel because I can taste it. Ah! So what that means is, it's not. It's exactly what you said. It's not bittel. I'm eating chazer. It's mixing with other stuff. But it's not bittel, so I'm eating chazer plus other stuff. So that's Rabbeinu Tam. And you think about that's probably the most natural svar for Rabbeinu Tam, is just saying it's the Torah's megala that Tam Keiker, that's not bittel. If it's murgash, the Tam is murgash, it's not bittel. So memela, it's still chazer. The Reorleans would probably say no. There is bittel barov. It is bittel barov. It's very nice, you can taste it, but you can't like pick it out and identify this is it. It's blended in. So he would say, there's a rear lean to say, it is batel barov. But then now the Torah comes along and says, even though it's batel barov, you still can't have it because you can taste it. So that's a new type of animal. No pun intended. I think it's taka batel, but it's also because you can taste it. Well, what does that mean? But it's gone. It's batel, it's never ba'otze miuto. Itaka is batel. They say, but I can't eat because I can taste it. That's a new iser. That's not the same. The Torah has a lav of lo sochu kol nevela. The Torah has a lav, basar basara trefer lo sochelu. The Torah has a lav, you can't eat behemoth tameya. Yeah, but I'm not doing that. It's batel. This isn't a piece of behemoth tameya. This isn't a piece of nevela. This isn't a piece of trefer. That's gone. It's batel. The Torah told me, but if you can taste a trefa flavor, you still can't have that. So the Rio of Orleans would say, that's a new din. And that's not, I'm not eating, I'm not violating lo salho kol nevela. I'm not eating nevela. I'm eating, the nevela is batel, but I'm eating something with a tam nevela. That itself is a problem. I'm eating potato, the nevela flavored potato is a new iser. So then Re says, okay, the Rio Lean says, okay, so that's based on some pasuk or another, maybe the parsha Giulei Akum of kashering the non-Jewish kelim. But I'm not violating the pasuk of Lo Salhu Kol Nevela. I'm violating the parsha of kashering. So that's it's an iser, but it's not a los hasei.
Then what would the Rio Lean say about Basar Chala? Because the whole aspect of why it's usser is because it's together. Like,
That's an interesting question.
It's not like the milk was okay and the meat were all separate.
So now you bring us back to the sugya. Thank you. Because what our sugya is grappling with is essentially that point. How does Basar B'Chalav relate to universal Tam Keker? Right? And that really was sort of the thrust of this piece of Gemara. Abaye says Basar B'Chalav can be a model, can be a source for universal Tam Keker. The fact that I can't eat the potato with the flavor of bacon, why? Because the Torah says you can't have Basar B'Chalav. I see with Basar B'Chalav you can't have Tam, that Tam is Keker. And Rava said, Abaye, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's true, as this Tosa says, it's true that Tam Keker drives B'Chalav Tarakula, but not from Basar B'Chalav. Basar B'Chalav is different. Right? So that's the core of the sugya. Now, in what sense is? One more point before we get to the core of, in what sense is Basar B'Chalav, and what's going on with the Chiddush and Derech B'Shalos HaTorah? One other point, parallel, the first point was what Tosfos Maskil Amar, that Rava doesn't reject the din of Tam Keker D'Oraisa, at least that's what Tosfos holds. He's just discussing what the Makor is. Now, interesting, in the two Tosfos and earlier, Din Maskil Mi Basar B'Chalav, they sort of make the reverse point about Abaye. The point that Abaye here seems to say, he's very clear, the source for Tam Keker D'Oraisa is Basar B'Chalav. Or at least, it could be the source. It is a good source. So Tosa says in Dimas Lemi Bas Bechal, said, what do you mean? But you look in the big sugyas of Tam, of where they explore, they search for the makor for Tam Keiker. It be references a couple weeks ago. Sugya in Psachim, Sugya in Nazir. Abaye is there, and the Tosa says he seems to be very comfortable and very aware that the Tanam are quoting other psukim, not Bas Bechal. They're quoting Giulei Akum, again the parsha matas of Kashrin the Nachrit Kalim. They're quoting Mishras, the pasuk by Nazir, that seems to discuss bread soaked in wine. Other psukim. So interesting. Tosa's answer is, you're right. Yesh lomer abaye kibla me rava shedocha lo v'chazer bo. Tosa says, you have to, historically, the sugya here in Kulchul and Kufches came first. In other words, this Gemara is giving you a snapshot of abaye b'na'aruso, and the other sugyas are giving you abaye b'ziknuso. Abaye was young, he had this idea, Bas Bechal was a good mucker, but Rava here pointed out to him why he's wrong, and he had the intellectual honesty to say, Rava, you're right. And he changed his tune. And on other sugyas, you never hear him quoting Bas Bechal. Why? Because Rava pointed out to him that Shver, and Abaye said, great. Because Abaye and Rava were not involved in the sport of debate. They weren't trying to win. They're trying to get the emes. Okay? Now, so now that we know that Rava agreed, even Rava agreed, Tam Kikad Araisa, just not from this mucker. And Abaye accepted Rava's maskana, and that's why elsewhere Abaye and Rava are on the same page. Tam Kikad Araisa, but not from this mucker. So Taka, why not? And that goes back to your point there. Okay? That's really the essence of the Gemara. Why not? Isn't this a great source? So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara said two things. It's a chiddush. Is it a chiddush? Is it not a chiddush? Derech Bishul Asur Torah. So the first thing you have to know, and Shechter often quotes this from Tosis in First Berak Yivamas, I believe. Chiddush doesn't mean, when the Gemara uses chiddush, particularly in the context of these sorts of sugyas, we're trying to figure out makoros for things, can I learn X from Y? Chiddush doesn't mean in the sense that we use it, a new idea. He just had a chiddush. Yesh lacher of Tam Kikar is kol yer prati. Right, and that's machlekes re'erlins and Rabbeinu Tam. We call that a chiddush. But when the Gemara uses the term chiddush in the context of drashas, it's a term of art. And what it means is that this area of halacha is a yotzei min haklal. This area of halacha is literally exceptional. It does not play. This area of halacha, you want to learn a din from A to B, from Bas Bechal to other Bechal Sassurus. You can't, the Gemara says, because it's a chiddush. Meaning, I can demonstrate from other aspects that Bas Bechal doesn't operate the way other Isurim operate. I can show you that Bas Bechal is unique and different. So once I know that it's a chiddush, that's the Yotzei min haklal, if it's literally exceptional, so then I'm no longer warranted to say, well, I can learn a din from Bas Bechal to everything, because I just showed you Bas Bechal does its own thing, beats to its own drummer. It's a chiddush. So now the question, well, in what case and Abaye had said, well, it can't be that Bas Bechal is a chiddush. Why? Because he said, then you would have come to the conclusion that Bas Bechal doesn't even need no Saint Tam. And Rav, because Abaye, as Rashi explains, Abaye was assuming, we're probably learning the Sinas Tam from elsewhere. Zroa B'Sheila gives you a psukim by Karbanas that the Gemara quotes in the previous part. How would I have learned it from elsewhere to Bas Bechalav if Bas Bechalav is a Chiddush? Abaye said, must be it's not a Chiddush. What Rav says is, Bas Bechalav itself indicates Tam Keker. The Parsha of Bas Bechalav, which is not a very big parsha, it's five words repeated three times. Lo sevashel gadib chalev yom. But Rava says that very brief parsha of Bas Bechalav itself internally indicates Tam Keker, and so Rava says it may well be that Bas Bechalav is unique and different. It's a chiddush, and it has its own internal indication of Tam Keker, but it's not going to impact anything else. So let's understand how it internally indicates Tam Keker, and then let's see what the chiddush is. That the firewall that separates Bas Bechalav from the rest of Kashrus. The way in which Basar B'Chalav itself, within the Parsha, so to speak, Basar B'Chalav, indicates internally a Tam K'Iker, Rava says, because Derech Bishul Asra Torah. The Torah forbade Basar B'Chalav Derech Bishul. What does that mean? So what that means, we had seen this when we first began. When we first began learning Basar B'Chalav, the very beginning, Simon Pei Zayin, we already may remember references going at the very beginning. The Derech Bishul Asra Torah means two things. It means two things. So on the one hand, it means that it's only, the Torah keeps saying Lo Savasha, Lo Savasha, Lo Savasha. It doesn't say Lo Sochal. So that indicates, and this is the Rashba made that point, that it's only in Isra Achila, Hotzi Akasav Achila Balashin Bishul, that's the way the Rashba had phrased it. The Torah does, instead of saying once Lo Savashel, and saying the second time Lo Sochal, and the third time Lo Sehner, or Lo Sochal again, the Torah chooses to use the word Bishul to mean Achila. You use Bishul to mean Hana. What does that tell you? That Derech Bishul Asar Torah, meaning it's only Asar to eat it if it's already been cooked. The basar v'chalav is only asr rabbanon. It's only asr rice if it's basar b'chalav. It's basar b'chalav should is bashlu yachad. So bishul basar b'chalav is actually creating a cheftz of basar b'chalav, which is then subsequently asr min haTorah to also eat and have hanah from. So that's one sense of derech bishul asr haTorah, is that by using the word tivashel to refer to achil hanah, the Torah is limiting the scope of the Isra Achila only min haTorah to those items which are cooked together. And by the way, that notion that what that means is that Bishul, as we raised, mentioned at the very beginning, Pei Zayin, that Bishul actually now becomes not just a sort of a random Isra against cooking two things together, but it really becomes the Isra of creating Basar B'Chalav. Someone showed the Kesef Mishnah said that Isra is a siyag tachil. Don't create Basar B'Chalav because you may end up eating it. We're actually going to see that's going to be part and parcel of the second sugya here, the Hanan sugya, the bulk of this Gemara. Okay, so we'll have to come back, Blinero, to that. So Derech Bishul Asar Torah on the one hand means that the Torah only forbade Achila and Hana of items which are actually cooked already, where the Basar and Chalav cooked together. On the other hand, the Gemara here is saying a different angle on that. Derech Bishul Asar Torah also means the Torah only forbade it. It has to be cooked in order to be asr. Cooking is necessary. But cooking alone is not sufficient. It has to be cooked in the normal sense of cooking. Derech bishul asr Torah. Not just mevushalim asr Torah. Derech bishul asr Torah. It can't just be literally cooked together. But it has to be in the usual fashion of cooking. Usual fashion of cooking means you cook things together because you cook a food alone. A one ingredient food, you cook because you want it to be cooked and not raw. But when you cook multiple ingredients together, the goal is to blend flavors. I could just take a slab of meat and throw it on the fire because I don't want it to be raw. But if I'm taking a slab of meat and putting a pot together with vegetables, it's because I want the vegetables and the meat to give flavor to one another. So that's Derech Bishul Asar Torah. Rav is saying is when the Torah describes this as an Isra of Basar B'Chalav Shenis Bashlu, that means on the one hand, Bishul is necessary. On the other hand, also means it has to be Bishul, which is Derech Bishul. It has to be a Bishul that gives flavor. If they were just cooked together but didn't give flavor, that's not what the Torah is describing. And that's what it says. Right? I would have thought, Abayah said, if it's really, if Basar B'Chalav is a Chiddush, if Basar B'Chalav is firewalled off the rest of Macholos Asuras, then maybe I should say, Alpha Gavdalaka no Saint Tam. One drop of milk in an enormous pot of meat. The Mishnah says it's mutter, but Lashishim. Abai says, why? Why? The Torah said, Basar B'Chalav they're cooked. This is Basar B'Chalav they're cooked. Right? Answers out, Rava, no. Lo tevashel means two things. It means they have to be cooked, they also have to be derech cooked. Derech bishul, meaning cooked in a way that actually created Nesinas Tam. So Nesinas Tam alone, without cooking, is not Basar B'Chalav d'oraisa. But cooking at Nesinas Tam is also not Basar B'Chalav. Both. And Nesinas Tam via cooking. Not Nesinas Tam alone, not B'liya B'tzonin, but also not cooking that doesn't result in Nesinas Tam. So it's those two elements are few need to be integrated. The literal cooking and the derech bishul, the intermingling of flavors. That's what Rava says. And again, that's what Rava is pointing out to Abaye. I don't need any other part of Torah to teach me that there's a notion of tam ke'ikir by bas b'chal. I don't need any other part of Torah to teach me that a drop of milk in an enormous pot of meat is kosher. I cook. No, but the term cooking itself implies not only heating things together, but dafka sharing flavors. Derech b'shal also Torah. Good. Then what remains to be understood in this Gemara is finally we're sort of, covering different parts. What remains to be understood is Tastake is a Chiddush. Right? That's what emerges is Bas B'chol Take is a Chiddush. Bas B'chol is unique and apart from the rest of Mechol Sosuris. And there, on that side of the wall, the rest of Mechol Sosuris are Tom Kaker because of some other Makar, whatever it is, Giyule Goyim, Mishras, etc. That's the Sugya in Gid HaNoshe and the Sugya in Psachem and Azir. And then here, on this side of the wall, Basa B'chalav has a din of Tom Kaker because Derech B'Shal Asa Torah, because of the Pasuk itself. And so Taka, the one last question here, is so Taka, why is it a Chiddush? Why is it a Chiddush? What's the firewall? Or as we said before, Shechter's Tosus and Yivamas. In what way is Bas B'chalav a Yotzei Min HaKlal? So here, interesting, Tosus points out, Dibur Maschil, the Chiddush, there are two different ways of looking at it. They quote Rashi, and then they say, if you look in the other sugyas, you get a different impression. Rashi here says, you know how, in what sense is Bas B'chalav a Chiddush? Bas B'chalav is a Chiddush because you have two kosher ingredients, each one alone is kosher, but together, a treif. So that's magic. Where do you have that? It's not like, normally you have a treif ingredient, then you mix other things, also treif. But here, this is kosher, and that's kosher, but somebody mix them together, all of a sudden they become a treif. A chemical reaction. A metaphysical. Metachemical. A metachemical reaction. A spiritual chemical reaction. So that's a chiddush. And again, not just chiddush that, wow, that's exciting, that's not, but literally novel. In other words, that breaks the mold. It's exceptional, which is why, by the way, Tosfos says it's not so exceptional. It's unusual. We have other cases like that. After all, kilayim. You're allowed to grow grapes. You're allowed to grow wheat. You grow them together, you got a problem. You're allowed to wear wool. You're allowed to wear linen. If you wear them together, is a problem. As a matter of fact, and I think we made references earlier on, there's a Rosh in Nida in the Hilchos Kliyim where he points out, I think then I just mentioned, oh, it's interesting, but now this is Mamashir, that the point that our Gemara made as a Havmina, why not say that even if it's Batal Bashishim, it's still Bas B'chalav because it's milk and meat cooked together, right? And Where do you see Tom Kaker? The Taka is an issue by Shatnas. The Rosh says one thread of wool in a bagot of linen, if I can identify it, so pull out the thread of wool, you're fine. But if you can't identify it, bagot shava bo kalayim, the whole thing is asr. Why? It should be batel barov. Not batel bashishim. No, Tom. Batel barov. Why not? So the answer is no. Abai's Havamina is correct over there. That it's not going to be batel. It's not going to be batel. Taka is that they're together usher, and we'll return to that in a moment. And that really is the entree to the next piece of sigma, which we'll at least touch upon before we wrap up for tonight. But it's worth pointing out. So again, Satosa says they're not very taken by Rashi's approach. Bas B'chalav is not a chiddush because It's a isser that's the result of two mutter ingredients. No, you don't get that case sense from the other gemaras. And it's not mechudish. It's rare, but not unique. It's not singular. That's why how kalayim works. Instead, Tosfos says it's because tam alone. They basically say the point we just made before that tam alone doesn't cut it. That itaru lekuliyom bechelba. If you soak the meat in milk all day long, it's still mutter min ha-Torah. What does that mean? Afa pisha nivla hachal v'basar. Milk was absorbed in the meat, because that's what we call kavish kemavushal. Bli betzonin. That's the mucker for the approach that the shear of kavish is kuleyoma, which we assume means 24 hours. It soaks for 24 hours, so now there's absorption of flavor. Avapishu tzonin. Even though it's cold, so it says, there is a bulia. Why? Fishut salt, because the milk is liquid. Abasar shoei besocho. The milk is sitting in liquid. That's kavish, and it's kimivushal. Kimivushal, in a sense, says there is an absorption of flavor. And yet, it's mutter, but kibashle asr. If I were to cook them as asr. So that's the first sense of derech bishal asr Torah. Before you even get tam kikir, that yitaka needed to be literally mevushal. So that comes from the psukim, and that is the chiddush of basa b'chal. That tam ki'ikar is not sufficient. Tam ki'ikar is a nesay, but it's not sufficient. You have to also have davka via bishal. It has to be an absorption of flavor through heat. So that is the chiddush. But coming back to that point we were making a moment ago, that really opens the bulk of the sugya, which we'll touch upon now, and we will dive into more thoroughly, mitzvah Shem, next week. And that is the following. And as we said, the Savara for saying that Begat Shavabo Kalayim, a thread of wool in a sea of linen, is Aser. So the Savara is, it's not like a little bit of Iser in a lot of Heter. Right? You have one package of Trey for deli and four packages of Kasher deli, so you have a Mir Iser and a Rov Heter. And Mir Isser, Rov Heter, and the Mir is not Nikar B'Makomo. I cannot identify the Mir, even when I'm looking directly at it. I might be looking directly at it. I have no idea if I am. I'm looking at a package of Mir. Is this Asher's Mutter? I don't know. So that's the definition of Bittel Barov. Mir Isser, Rov Heter, V'Einar Isser, Nikar B'Makomo. But here that's not the case, because it's not Mir Isser, Rov Heter. It's all Isser, because the definition of Kalayin is the combination of wool and linen. So it's not miyut iser, it's 100% iser. This beged is shatnez. It's not that the wool thread is shatnez, or the wool thread is butzel to the rest. As Tosas pointed out, there is something where Rashi says, that might not be the chiddush bas b'chalav, but it is a fascinating phenomenon. That tu dvar mutarim, b'taruvasa nasa ha'iser. Right? So by kilayim we talk and say by shatnez we talk and say it could be either it's not going to be batel. Now by basa b'chal we don't say that. Why? Because of the second sentence of derech bishul asra Torah. What Rava said is that derech bishul asra Torah implies not only that you need literally an active bishul, but that you also it has to be derech bishul. I mean there needs to be tam ke'ikar. So if there's no nesinas tam, it's not just you need bishul, you need nesinas tam via bishul. Nesina's time through heat. So that limits the sort of the radical range of the kalayim din. You're not going to see that one drop of milk in a whole pot of media trave. Abaye Taka thought maybe we should have. Right? That was his question. Right? And Rabbi said, no, the word tivashel implies it has to be dafka within Nesina's time. So we're going to step down the concept that you see so extremely applied by Kalai Begadim, but the concept is true, just more moderately so. In other words, in a case where the taka, it's not batel b'shishim, in a case where there's enough milk that taka does give an asinus tam, so then that svara by the Kalayim is going to apply here too. In other words, if it is derech bishul in both senses, I'm cooking the meat and milk together, and there's enough of the miut to give flavor to the rov. Obviously, the rov is giving flavor to the miut. So then, that's where the Gemara goes on saying that's the second sugya, so to speak, here, the second segment, the bulk of the sugya, is that in a case where the taka is nesinas tam, the whole, like as the Rush said by the Begadim, Kalei Begadim, the Gemara says here, then the whole thing is aser. It's not the pshat that the milk is aser, the meat is aser. This is 100% a new thing called basar b'chalav, a cheftz of basar b'chalav. That's what the Gemara refers to as chaticha nases nevela. The piece of meat, the chaticha, became nevela. It became tray. Then gavela is tray for meat. Boar's head. So if I have meat from a kosher butcher and I cook it with milk, the meat itself is now treif. Well, of course I know it's bas b'chal. I mean chaticha nas in the veil. That's where I could go on to see, and that's what Rav sees in our Mishnah, and that's what ultimately the Gemara explains on the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Beis, going to Kuf Tes Aleph. It might be a machlokes ha-tanoim what the din is exactly in our Mishnah. Azoy, that when I chanan chaticha nas in the veil ches nunun. Chanan means that if an ounce of milk falls onto 30 ounces of meat and gets cooked together, so now I have 31 ounces of tarfus. Meaning, if let's say that piece of meat, let's say I wipe away any milk on the surface, right? And I take that piece of meat and I now toss it into a pot with five other pieces of meat. Right. So before I said, look, I had 1 ounce of milk, got spread throughout the 30 ounces of meat. It's not batel b'shishim. There is a flavor. Trick. But then what's going to happen if I take that piece of meat and toss it into a bigger pot of loads of pieces of meat? So now what? So I should say, look, I have 1 ounce of milk, but now it's no longer blended among 30 ounces of meat. It's blended among 200 ounces, 300 ounces of meat. So am I going to say all the other pieces of meat become treif? Why? Man of shach. If the milk stays in this original piece of meat, nothing else is affected. And if the milk, if I'll say, Metzia's question, if I'll say no, but then once I throw into the bigger pot, the milk redistributes out to all the pieces of meat, then it's all kosher. Because now it's batel b'shishim. Now it's 1 ounce of milk. Not in 30 ounces of meat, now it's 1 ounce of milk and 300 ounces of meat. So right? So you should have said, how could the other pieces become treif? We can handle whether the first piece stays treif or not. And that's what the Gemara refers to as efshar l'sachto. Am I going to assume that even though the bliya of milk set into the first piece of meat, when I throw it into another pot, should I assume it's going to be nischat, like schita in Hilchos Shabbos, it's squeezed out? Should I assume that everything is evenly redistributed? So we can even wonder whether the first piece became kosher, a little bit like kashering food? Or is it, no, yef shel sachto, that there'll be some flavor, but it'll probably predominantly stay where it is. Right? But the Gemara says, but there are other pieces of meat should for sure be kosher. Miman of shach. Even if the milk spreads evenly, worst case scenario, it's all kosher. The first piece and everything else. So the Gemara says, no, and that's what Rav suggests, and Gemara seems to say maybe it's a machlokes ha-tanaim, but it sounds like this is how we paskin. All the pieces are treif. Why? How is it possible? Iman of shach, right? The milk is definitely, the answer is, you're right. The milk, the tam of the milk is bought than the other pieces of meat. But the tam of the first piece of meat is not bought. I have a piece of meat in nine other pieces of meat. So the meat, the original meat, is not batel b'shishim. Why do you mean the original meat? But the milk is gone. The milk is diluted. I should say not gone, but diluted. The answer is yeah. That is the magic of chaticha nasas nevela. It's not just that they're usher because right now the milk and the meat are intermingled. It's once the milk and the meat got intermingled, it's not a temporary status. This meat is now treif. It's nevela. Boom. It's boar's head. So even though the milk will subsequently become more diluted, it's too late for this piece of meat. It's permanently nesa. That's chaticha nases nevela. And that leads the Gemara into, will this be closed? That's why the Gemara is going to address the point of the following. And this will set us up for going forward, gain more into the complexity of the rest of the sugya, and where at least in Shulchan Aruch, is where chaticha nas nevela gets us is the following. We come back to where we began. Two cases in our Mishnah. Both of them are milk flowing into meat. The reverse, meat flowing into milk, comes up in the course of the Shaka Vitaria. The Mishnah has two cases of milk flowing into meat. The first one was the milk just spreads through the first chaticha. The second one was, because I stir, the Gemara discussed, we have to stir right away. so that the milk spreads evenly throughout everything. And the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, the first case, does it mean the meat is all the way out of the gravy or part of gravy? Okay, important, not, but for now a detail. But here's the question. So the second case in the Mishnah ends where the milk falls and gets evenly distributed among everything. So it'll be easier to make a bittul b'shishin because I have that one drop of milk that gets not just one piece but the whole panful. Okay. But how about the first case? The first case was the milk falls on the piece of meat, only that chaticha becomes aser. That's where the Gemara is going to say, aha! And then what happened afterwards? And then did the piece of meat then fall into the rest and subsequently make everything treif or not? Is another way of putting it is that second case where you say the milk is bottled to the whole panful, is that only because it immediately blended? If you say chaticha nasas nevela, then yes. The only way the seifa is mutter is because it's not that it's because the milk immediately blended throughout. They never had a chance to sink into the first piece alone. If it would have sank in the first piece alone and made it aser, then that would be permanent. Chaticha nasas nevela. So the Gemara is going to say, since we do paskin chaticha nasas nevela, the seifa means means that the milk immediately blends throughout. That you start stirring right away, not subsequently. If there's two stages, then you're in big trouble. You're in two stages, and chaticha nasas nevela is going to trip you up. But if near v'kisa miyad, immediately, the moment the milk falls in, you start stirring. Okay, so they never had a chance to settle into any one piece, so the whole pot full together is mitzarev levatel. So again, that's we spent, just to recap where we've been. This Mishnah is very central, and the Mishnah sets up a small piece of Gemara, that the very fact that we speak about Nesinas Tam drives Abai and Rava to discuss Tam Kikar Bas Bechal versus Tam Kikar Bechal Tarkula. Same Makar, not the same Makar. No, it's a Chiddush. There's an internal source of Tam Kikar Bas Bechal, which is Derech Bishal Asr Torah. The Bas Bechal is a Chiddush. It's unique. And there has to be other sources for the rest of Bechal Asr. And then the larger chunk of the Sugya, from the middle of Kuf Ches all the way, all the way to the Mishnah Kuf Tes Amarav, really different branches of this, of the Sugya of Chanan. Of chaticha nasas nevela, which again is this understanding that the bas bechal is iser, so it only gets that iser if there's nesinas tam, because derech bishal asr Torah. But when there was nesinas tam, it becomes a chefza di isur, even if subsequently the ratio changes and the milk content, the concentration of milk within the piece of meat gets reduced. It's too late. The meat itself is already treif, and therefore, if milk falls into one piece of meat, sets in and asers it, and then, stage two, the one piece of meat falls into the pot of other pieces of meat, it's not enough. They have enough meat in the pot to mevatel the tam chalav. You need to have enough meat in the pot to mevatel the piece of meat. Because even though as the flavor of the first piece of meat spreads, it's not going to carry with it enough milk to give any milky flavor. The meat itself is already treif. The meat itself is a shtick nevela, and it will now, its flavor alone, the meat flavor of the meat, is enough to aser the other pieces of meat, and therefore you need a much larger shear in the pot as a whole to mevatna the tam chalav, but the entire chaticha rishonah. There's more to say in terms of this. I think I was going to get into the discussion about interesting questions about more about this, or the different angle of relation between Basar and Chalav, and defining the side of the Chatizayas of each. Interesting discussion on Kuf Ches and Beis. And Mitzvah Shem, over the course of the week, this Chabur will have been a useful mavo to sort of setting up the Limud in greater granularity of this Gemara, and to take it into Tur and Shulchan Aruch, to see Sif Beis in terms of Tipas Chalav into the Basar, Sif Aleph in terms of Basar falling into the Chalav. A lot in Sif Beis about Chanan. There's plenty more to come in terms of Chanan. And then some more of the details that flow from the Sugya get adjudicated in... and see if in Gimel and Dalet. Mr. Shem, we'll build from here. Shkach Hashem.